All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Is this music we're listening to?
Very funny.
I think it's hilarious. I personally love the story.
Very funny.
Why don't you tell everybody what it is?
Is it the theme to The Rocketeer?
It is the theme to The Rocketeer.
Very funny.
Yeah? I hear he was stellar at Texas Hold'em.
Very funny.
All right. Boys and girls, ladies and gents, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 76, Helmets.
Helmets?
That's the name of the episode.
Helmets.
I get to name it this week.
Okay.
Helmets.
Helmets. And why on earth would you choose to call it Helmets, I wonder?
Because we have two fancy helmets in studio. Because
you're an ass.
That too. Why don't you tell them about the first helmet?
Okay. The first helmet is the legendary edition of Halo 3. It retails for about $130. It's what would you call that? Like 3/4 of a full size Fantastic?
I think that's about right.
Yeah,
about 3/4 of a full size Spartan helmet or Master Chief helmet. And what it does is it lifts off. You can Fantastic. You can check that out. You can lift the helmet directly up, and inside you can actually store three games that you like. I've chosen to store in it Halo 1, 2, and 3. Right.
Well, that would seem to make the most sense. It's kind of like a Halo box set at this point.
Right. It's a nice heavy-duty plastic. It's a nice display case for your Halo collection.
There you go.
I think it's great.
It is. It is pretty neat. Obviously, we will talk a little bit about Halo later in the episode, but why don't we get to that other helmet over there? We'll go back to the Master Chief helmet in a little bit, but let's get to the other helmet. Why don't you share with our listeners the tale
Fine.
Of the other helmet?
Fine. Fantastic hasn't heard this one yet, so this should be interesting to him at the least.
Sure.
I'm very interested.
You should be.
I have here the Master Replicas Rocketeer helmet replica.
Right. Now, for those of you who don't know, Big Kev, our pal, huge Rocketeer fan. The biggest of the big when it comes to Rocketeer fans, dare I say.
I do like the Rocketeer.
It's true.
And this piece has long since evaded my collection.
It has.
It was very pricey when it came out. Master Replicas, of course, doing fine replicas.
Of course.
The Rocketeer helmet, of course, is one of their finest.
Falling under their Disney license, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And they do high quality stuff, so of course it's a little pricey, but
sure.
You want the best, you got the best, said Gene Simmons. And I wanted the best, and eventually I had to get the best. Now, the problem is that these sold very quickly.
Right.
And out.
Right.
And so they were difficult to come by. And even in the secondary market, they were selling for, let's say, $400 or $500.
Right.
Which is an extraordinary amount of money. Not that it isn't worth it. It is. It comes with a nice stand.
Sure.
It's metal. It's got the eye shield piece in it, the big fin growing off the back.
Yeah.
The inside is padded and has a little leather strap that you can clip under your chin.
Right.
So I went down to Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash.
In Red Bank, New Jersey?
Correct. Where I did play cards with one Kevin Smith.
Right. Your pal.
My pal.
Friend of the show.
Yes. all of these things. And I did see the helmet on display in the store, but with no price tag. And if you haven't been to the Secret Stash down there, A, you should go, because it's a banging store. I mean, Walt Flanagan runs that store, and it is fantastic.
Beautiful, even.
They have such a selection and such great stuff. You will not be disappointed. I was walking around the store before we were playing going, need that, need that, need that. I never do that anywhere. Okay, so they have a great selection, comics, collectibles, statues, figures, and so on. Right. So that being said, I saw this, no price tag. I turned and asked somebody if they would go ask Walter how much he wanted for it, just out of curiosity's sake, and ask him if it's for sale because there was no price tag on it. Kevin Smith turned to me and said, it's for sale. Everything in here is for sale. And I was like, oh, okay. But it's no price tag. He goes, well, go ask Walt how much he wants for it. I'm like, all right. So I go, it's Walt. Walt says, go ask Kevin because Kevin just brought it. So apparently, I'm guessing it was Kevin's
his personal collection
or something. Apparently, he had just given it up or bringing it or whatever.
Whatever.
So that being said, he sent me back to Kevin. Kevin said, well, come on, let's go look it up on eBay and blah, blah, blah. And the jokes began with, hey, you know, Kevin said to me, if you wear it the whole night, I'll give it to you for half price, whatever we come up with. And I was like, yeah, really? Okay. And a friend of his named Jim said, yeah, I'll pay the other half if it'll actually fit on your head and you wear it all night.
Well, there you go.
And everyone's like, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, are you both serious? And they're like, yeah, serious, serious. I'm like, okay. And so we found a price. We came to a price. And I put the helmet on, and I played the entire evening with the helmet on my head.
That's an advantage in poker.
It actually was.
Sure, no one can read him. He had no tells.
No one could read me. That being said, I came in second place in the tournament.
Rocketeer doesn't blink.
That's the best you've ever done, isn't it?
That is the best I've ever done at a Kevin Smith card game, for certain.
So are you going to take this act to AC, and you're going to sit in the Borgata with a Rocketeer helmet?
I don't know that they would allow me to wear a helmet in the Borgata.
Just say it's a facial appliance and it's medical.
Really? Really?
That's it.
A note from your doctor.
Vanilla Sky facial appliance.
It's a weapon of mass destruction, that helmet.
Well, whatever it is, I got it for virtually speaking nothing. Well, really nothing if you count the fact that I came in second. And the prize for second, of course, was generous. And
so, there you go.
That's the story of the Rocketeer helmet. There, you happy now?
So tonight's episode 76, helmets.
Great.
We've got two in studio, one with a lovely tail, one with a good game
certainly,
that we'll get to later.
Certainly you have some news.
Certainly I do have some news. From some of the creators of Scary Movie 3 and 4 comes a new movie that is right in our vein.
Scary Movie 5.
No, it's going to be called Superhero.
Yeah, no one saw this coming.
No, no one at all. And, you know, it's going to have David Zucker and from Airplane, obviously, and Robert K. Weiss from the Naked Gun sequels are going to produce the film. There's going to be a bunch of actors you recognize in the movie. Jeffrey Tambor will be in there. Leslie Nielsen will be in there. And a plethora of others as well. So we cannot look forward to that movie because I'm sure, much like Epic Movie and Date Movie and maybe Scary Movie 4.
That doesn't sound like a bad cast, though.
And Superman Returns.
Well, you know, the problem with Leslie Nielsen is Dracula Dead and Loving It, really, when you want to get right down to it.
That wasn't that bad.
That was terrible and atrocious, and it's a shame that it was the last Mel Brooks film.
Give him an enema.
Yeah. So I'm not holding out for it, but who knows? Maybe it will be funny. I like the first two Scary Movies, so maybe
the first two?
Yeah, I like the first
two. I liked 1, 3, and 4.
I didn't
see... 2 was horrendous.
Oh, no, I liked 2. 3 was meh, and 4 was bleh.
Well.
So there's my news to start the evening off, Superhero.
Which is the scary movie that has James Woods in the beginning, and he's playing the priest who's doing the exorcism.
That's 3,
That's a funny scene.
Is that 3 or is that 2?
It's very subtle, but it's funny.
I think that's 2.
Maybe that's 2, with Chris Elliott eventually in the
movie
with
hand.
The gumpy
no,
hand.
No, my little hand.
Yeah, that's 2.
2 is terrible.
Oh, I like 2. David Cross?
Terrible.
Go ahead. What do you have? What do you have? Something profound and wonderful, I'm sure?
And riveting.
Exclusive news.
That's right, exclusive. You'll only find it here. A deluxe hardcover edition of the Alan Moore, Brian Boland, Batman the Killing Joke will be shipping from DC in March of 2008.
Okay.
And I guess this ties in with some sort of anniversary or something. It must. Either that or they're really pumping up this whole Joker's going to be in the film, so we got to push a lot of Joker stuff back out the door.
Is that such a terrible thing, though?
I mean, no,
these
no
are some good stories that we
absolutely
I'd love to
not
see reprinted
sir.
And collected.
And they're also coming out at the exact same time or thereabouts. They're coming out with the two-figure Killing Joke action figure two-pack.
Yes,
with the Joker in the Hawaiian shirt the and hat when he blows away Barbara Gordon in what can only be described as the most perfect Joker moment ever. He gets her address, he knocks on the door, and he blows her away.
Well, he is a sick, twisted individual, and carnage does follow him around.
That said, the Killing Joke, one of the best, probably the best Joker story ever written. So
the best, do you think?
Yeah.
Death in the Family was pretty good.
Death in the Family was more a Batman story.
Okay.
This is more a Joker
it's more
story.
A Joker story.
Right.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that it's definitely something you should pick up if
oh,
you're
certainly.
A fan of Alan Moore or Batman or the Joker or anything like that.
That's true.
Definitely deserves a hardcover edition, and I'm glad it's getting one.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Isn't there another hardcover that you were saying was coming out later this year, too? Another collected? Mr. Mignola was putting out something, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I was about to get to that. Hellboy, it seems, is going to be collected into deluxe library edition hardcovers.
Okay.
In 2008, and each volume will collect two of the trades in chronological order.
So are these like those, what are those DC books that they've been putting out? The Ultimate,
the Archives?
Not the Archives. Like they just did the Sandman and they did...
Absolute.
Absolute. Is this kind of like Absolute Hellboy?
I don't know.
The
if they're gonna,
thereof?
Well, if they're going to oversize them, then yeah, they're ripping off DC. Hoo-hoo.
Right. Wow.
But it's... I don't really consider it... I don't really consider it ripping them off. I just think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Because... At the least, it will give this show some opportunity to give away some Hellboy products.
Sure.
Some signed Hellboy products.
There you go.
Because I don't want them in my collection anymore. I've had it.
Well, hopefully these...
No, you don't understand. I'm done.
Oh, no, I know.
I'm reading the books, and I got nothing else to say to the man.
Okay.
And do I want his stuff signed?
No,
I don't.
I'm hoping that the special editions that he puts out, he spits in each and every volume so that you can have a little of his treatment.
Well, all you have to do is meet him to get a little of his spit and
I don't
vinegar.
Get it. You're going to have to explain. I'm not as big as a geek as you dorks.
Mike Mignola, although brilliant and very talented, is an absolute and complete prick in real life. Does that sum it up pretty well?
He's a miserable man, and he has... I don't know what I ever did to the guy
you know
who
what?
Has treated me with nothing but
I shouldn't
negativity.
Say he's a prick. I shouldn't say he's a prick. Because he's a prick really to you. Because I know some other people that have had very good experiences with him.
Well, that ain't me.
And he always seems very pleasant to other people online to meet him at conventions. He just hates you.
Do you know anyone who's had a good experience with Kevin, though?
No, but that said, listen,
I know.
In
you're
all
good
seriousness,
guy.
I have a lot of people that I consider friends who are in the industry, and I don't treat anybody differently, and I'm a fan of Mignola's work. I'm a fan of the man.
Listen,
this harkens back to my Howard Chaykin experience from years ago when I met Howard Chaykin for the first time, and he told me that comic book artists were an artist, and he wasn't going to sketch for me because blah, 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 and all this crap. And then I met him 10 years later when he wasn't at the top of his game, and I reminded him of this story, and he did a wonderful sketch of American Flag for me in my sketchbook and apologized for being such a prick to me the first time I met him. Now, what I'm hoping is that Mignola survives the cancer and the car accidents that I've wished on him so that in 10 years from now, he too, when he doesn't have anything being developed into a movie, when Hellboy 3 or 2 or whatever has long since passed from our memory and Hellboy has gone the way of other things, maybe somebody's still doing it, maybe somebody's talking about resurrecting it and they're trying to find Mike Mignola, you know, to talk to him about it and he's a doddering old idiot, that I will remind him of what a jackass he was to me in San Diego in 2007, what a complete douchebag he was, and then maybe he'll do a sketch for me, and I'll appreciate it.
Now, remember, this isn't just San Diego 2007. This is New York 2006.
No, the
this
pinnacle.
Is, this is every this is meeting basement shows going right. back 10 years.
Every meeting I have ever had with the man, I have never done nothing. I have not done anything but respect him, and he has acted like a complete douche to me. I don't know why. Everything is a problem. Everything I ask him, I asked him to sign my Big Blast action figure. He's like, I don't really know if I. And if you don't know, we've said this before. He sounds like a fucking Muppet. He's like, I don't know if I should sign that figure, Kevin, because it's And then he goes on and on with his bullshit.
Yeah, but then he signs it for someone else.
And it's not even that. And then it's like, hey, Mike, you know, I really like this new character you're doing, Hellboy. Maybe could I get a sketch from it? Yeah, I don't really feel like I'm. Yeah, I don't feel I'm going to do any sketches today. And you come back literally an hour later, and he's sketching. Right? So then you go back in line, and I'm like, yeah, so I thought maybe it looked like you changed your mind sketch. Oh, yeah, I don't really. All right, I'll do something for you quick. And he has the Hellboy sketch down to, you know how, like, you do your signature, and you can do it in your sleep without lifting up the pen practically? That's how his Hellboy free sketches are. It's like zip and circle for the horns, and there's the eyes and the chin and the mouth, and there's a little line for the neck. The end. And he's done. And it's... I just think it's such shit. He's so overblown and so completely out of touch with his place in the industry, because his character got picked up and made into some movies and cartoons. God bless you, Mike Mignola, but you can go fuck yourself. I'm going to continue reading your Hellboy books because I'm a fan. The rest of your crap can go to hell, and so can you.
So I hear Dominic West is going to be playing the role of Jigsaw in the upcoming Punisher 2 sequel.
Let me tell you something about Dominic West.
Oh, hey.
I don't know anything about Dominic West.
Thank well, God. For those of you who don't know who Dominic West is, he is in The Wire. He was in 300 as, oh, geez.
That
the
guy.
Scheming senator that rapes the queen. Gorgo. I can't remember the character's name. But anyway, needless to say, Dominic West playing the role of Jigsaw. So that mystery has finally been solved. I actually think he's a really good choice for that role. I think he could play the part. I think he looks the part. And I don't know. If it wasn't for the fact that Thomas Jane left because he was convinced the script sucked, I'd be almost excited about this movie. I'm kind of teetering on the brink of excitement, but I'm not quite there yet.
You better hold on to your seats, because I got Marvel news, baby.
Oh, I'm sure it's negative.
I got Marvel X-Men news, and you know what that means.
I'm sure I don't care.
X-Men disassembled.
So this is a comic book based on Marvel Legends Build-A-Figure, and what they're doing is they're taking large X-Men characters and breaking them out into little pieces for a miniseries.
Close.
Yes!
They released an image... That says X-Men Disassembled, which apparently is something that's going to happen after the Messiah Complex.
Okay.
Which is their current all crossing all books.
Right, right, right.
Sort of everything is bad, blah, blah, blah. Everything will never be the same. Editor Nick Lowe, who's the editor of these monstrosities at this point, says that at least two new series will be coming out of this.
Hmm. Okay.
You'll never guess in a million years what they are.
All right. I'm going to go with random X characters. I'm going to go with Captain Britain and...
No. I'm just going to stop you.
Okay.
Cable.
He's back?
Yeah. Apparently, he's never left. He's in a book called Cable and Deadpool.
Right.
Which
no,
this book is replacing. So it's, okay. It's yet another Cable book. A character... Nobody I've ever met likes.
Well, he was kind of popular and big back in his heyday
in the 90s.
And ready for this? Then. I hated him. And ready for this?
Strife.
X-Force.
Really?
Isn't X-Force out now? I thought X-Force
No, I thought X-Force had died.
New X-Men. I'm going through the head of my titles. There's like 60 of them, so give me a second. Wait, maybe we should put the show on pause for 1 second while I sift through all the titles to see if X Factor is actually one of them. Let's put the show on pause, fantastic. And we're back. And no, X Factor is a book out now, and Excalibur is a book out now, but not X Force. That hasn't been a book for a while, apparently.
Okay.
That's coming out of this monstrosity also. And Nicklo teases the audience by saying, this crossover thing will change everything.
They all change everything.
I know, but I'm just telling you. In fact, who's to say that there will even be a group of people who call themselves the X-Men?
Ooh.
Wow.
Okay. Hey, let's talk about something I care about. And that would be...
Keeping the mic in front of your
keeping
face?
Keeping the mic in front of my face. No, that would be Jessica Biel being potentially cast or the latest runner-up or the latest rumor.
I like tapped.
For Wonder Woman. Now, this is not Wonder Woman for the Wonder Woman film. This is Wonder Woman for the Justice League movie. That's going to begin filming in February.
Really?
Yes.
That's really going forward?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So Jessica Biel is the current one in line, and I don't know. What do you think about it? What's your opinion? Fantastic. Do you have an opinion on Jessica Biel?
I'm assuming you don't really want it, my opinion of Jessica Biel in relation to comic books.
Well, I mean, if you have one, or if you have just one on Jessica Biel, that would work too.
I didn't really know who Jessica Biel was until like a year ago.
Okay.
But since then, she's really hit my radar, and she's hit it hard.
Well...
When she played Whistler's daughter in Blade 3, I was completely in love with her.
Well, she's still rather gorgeous. And that's the only role that I could go back to in reference for how she may or may not be able to pull off someone like Wonder Woman. Because it is an action role. It's a strong female character, Whistler's daughter.
About Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The remake.
So, I don't know. I think she's a little small for Wonder Woman.
She could buff up.
But she could buff up. I'd like to see her in spandex.
Yeah, that is curious. I think nothing. She can. She's because she's goddamn thin.
She is.
She
was
thin.
She was naked in Blade 3 in the shower scene.
She was listening to her iPod.
She didn't show much, but she was naked.
She does have a wonderful hiney, though.
So yeah,
bulk up, babe.
I'm sure she will bulk up if she's going to be taking that gig.
So, for those of you who actually pay attention to that blog thing we have going on the website right now. You remember...
Wait. What are we doing on the website?
Anyway.
What blog thing, Fantastic? What's that all about?
I don't know. What's a blog?
Exactly.
Now, what are you saying?
Late last week, I posted a couple of links to an interview that George Lucas had done with TV Guide. The interview kind of focused around that independent film... whose name is eluding me right now, that he that was about him and a bunch of other directors that had come out of San Francisco, I believe. It was him, Spielberg, somebody else.
Okay.
But during the course of the interview, naturally, things that we care about more came up. Those things being Indiana Jones 4 and Star Wars.
Dun, 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 dun.
So Indiana Jones 4. He talked a little bit about Sean Connery not being in the film.
Okay.
And not playing the role of Indy's dad.
Which sucks.
It does suck, but according to him at least, the part that they wanted him to play was kind of, may have been well suited for the character, but really wouldn't have been a good out for Indy's dad.
Okay.
So instead, they rewrote the part, created an entirely new character for this little bit of sequence. And so... they did move forward, which is good. I'm glad that they didn't just try to recast Indy's dad, that they've kind of reworked the character, because really no one should play Indy's dad other than Sean Connery at this point. So kudos to George for that. On to the Star Wars information. He talked a little bit about the animated Clone Wars and the live action. Both are slated to have 100 episodes. Clone Wars will take place between 2 and 3, which we knew. It doesn't have a home yet. Which I found kind of interesting, but he's not concerned because I'm sure someone will pick it up.
Right.
And I'm sure someone will. And it will be a PG-13 cartoon.
Ooh.
So that's good to me. And that means he's not going to treat it with too much kiddie gloves. That means hopefully it'll be a little bit more violent, a little bit more appealing. And it will involve characters that we know and love. as far as the live action is concerned. You know, he plans on writing it, then shooting it. Again, like I said, it's going to be probably somewhere in the ballpark of 100 episodes. And I don't think that it's necessarily going to involve characters that we know. It's going to kind of involve storylines around them, but not necessarily them. So that kind of cleared up some speculation and some rumor surrounding that, but not a whole lot. So there it is.
Okay.
You can check out that blog from late last week if you want to read the full interview. It is still up on our fine and dandy website. Kev, why don't we talk about the DVDs that came out this week?
Wow. Are you leading me? What are you, fantastic?
I'm leading you. The show must go on.
Jeez. Voltron, Defender of the Universe. That Volume 4, The Red Lion.
Right.
Has come out in its delightful tin.
That's right.
It's the embossed tin. Cover, like the other ones.
Very nice.
Contains many, many fine features that you'll want to be a part of.
Well, sure. I mean, these are really good definitive sets. They have done almost all of the lines, I think, at this point. They did yellow, blue, red, and green. So I think the only one missing now is the Black Lion, right? Which would have been the body of Voltron. So,
is that all five?
I don't know. Yeah, that would be all five. So I don't know if they have any plans to do something with the Black Lion, but that would be the next logical step. It is a great purchase. You can pick it up. If you have the other Lions, it would be foolish not to continue collecting them at this point. And much like the other Lions, I'm sure that it's going to become hard to find if you don't pick it up soon.
Right.
So you should go out there and grab it. What else do we have?
From Exorcist director William Friedkin, the thriller Bug has come out on DVD, starring Ashley Judd and Harry Connick Jr. amongst the people in the cast.
Does he sing Christmas carols?
I don't know, but it's a creepy psychological thriller, they say. This film got really good reviews.
Okay.
And it's now on DVD, so you can check it out. Ooh,
fancy,
creepy.
Fancy.
And Knocked Up.
A wonderful film.
The funny comedy that came out this summer.
Judd Apatow.
Yes, Judd Apatow, who's done films like The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
And recently Superbad.
Did he direct Superbad?
I
think
so,
he produced Superbad. I don't think he directed it. Fantastic. Did Judd Apatow direct Superbad? Or did he produce it? I think he produced it.
Well, Knocked Up, for those of you who don't know, because you're living under a rock, stars Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl. Is that how you pronounce
yes.
it?
Yes. Emmy Award winning.
Yeah, that's right. Emmy Award winning.
Katherine Heigl.
So it was really funny. It was kind of cute. I thought it ran a little long, to be honest with you. I thought probably they could have trimmed about 20 minutes out of it. So the fact that they've put another 4 minutes in onto this one.
Oh, no, sir. Over 50 minutes of exclusive, deleted, and extended scenes.
Yeah, but I think it's actually 4 minutes that's cut back into the film. Maybe there's other like bloopers. And
50 minutes of exclusive, deleted, and extended scenes.
I don't know.
One of the exclusives you can get is a Knocked Up deck of cards.
Is that the Best Buy exclusive, sir?
I don't know if it's a Best Buy exclusive. It doesn't indicate that it's a Best Buy only exclusive, so I can't really tell you.
Well, at my retailer, where I work, we didn't get that one. We only got the 2-disc special edition and then the widescreen and full screen versions. So
then maybe
it might be a
Best
Buy exclusive.
It might be. I don't know.
Fantastic. Do you have an update on the Superbad question?
IMDb lists him as producer or executive producer on almost everything, director on nothing that he's done. So,
Okay.
Do you guys remember a time when it took like a year to like 5 years for VHS and DVDs to come out after you saw the movie?
Not anymore.
And you'd have to wait.
I know.
That movie, I swear, like I was just at the movie theater. It was like 3 weeks ago.
It may feel that way. It was really, I think it was only a handful of months ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago. So it's really a quick turnaround time.
Well, speaking of quick turnaround time, the Shakespeare As You Like It, Kenneth Branagh's latest Shakespeare film, that was an HBO film, came out on DVD this week also. It premiered
last week.
3 weeks ago. Something so like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, with less and less people going to the theater, not wanting to deal with the theater experience, the turnaround time on DVDs has become crucial. So it makes sense that they're coming out quicker and quicker. I think it depends really on the quality of the film and whatnot. So kudos to them for finally figuring out how to do it. Why don't we really quickly mention something that's coming out in the future?
Okay.
That I think people might care about.
Okay.
This would be Star Trek The Next Generation, the complete series. It's a 49-disc set, and it arrives in stores on October 2nd. So there you go. A couple of weeks, you can check that out.
And what's that price point, Smiley?
You know what? Actually, I don't have a price point on it, but I'm sure it's expensive because all of the Star Trek sets have been expensive.
They've been $100 a throw per season.
Per season.
These are the ones that come in the classic one comes in like a yellow pod looking
thing,
right?
Yeah, it's a yellow pod.
Yellow, red, and blue.
And blue.
For the three seasons, yeah.
Right.
I want to watch Star Trek, but almost casually. Like, I want to watch it from the beginning, say.
Right.
But maybe not every night. I want to have a box set, go slow. But $109, I think, what saw them for recently is lot of money, right, man.
But the original series, the ones you're talking about in the pods, they are not expensive.
No?
No, they are reasonably priced for the whole season. I
think the prices have dropped, actually. They were about $100 when they first came out. I think they're probably like 70 or 80 now.
Are they
really?
I don't remember them being that expensive.
Like 2 years ago in Best Buy, and I was kind of deciding on some kind of box set I was going to buy.
Right.
I was like, I'll go like somewhere in the middle of the X-Files, like fifth season or fourth season, somewhere over there. And I came across Star Trek, and I was just like appalled. I was like, that's it. I'm going home and going on the internet.
Are they really that expensive?
Yeah,
I thought that I didn't remember them being. I thought them remember them being about $60 or $70 a throw.
They may have gone down since then, but that was a while ago.
Yeah.
So,
well, you should definitely pick them up. It's an iconic series.
Sure.
As for Next Generation, if that box set's more than $150, that it's just what's the Buffy complete thing?
You know, I don't remember how much that went for, but like the Sex and the City one went for about $300. The Friends one went for about $300.
All of which had less seasons than Next Generation.
The West Wing went for about $300, I think.
And Seinfeld?
Seinfeld, they haven't done a full set yet. MASH went for about $200, I think.
Again, so which had comparable.
How many seasons of Next Generation were there?
Nine or ten, there had to be. At
okay,
least
so
nine
Friends
or 10
was
seasons.
About 10 as well, and MASH was about 10 as well. So you're looking at probably a $300, $250, $300 price tag.
I hope you're wrong, because well, first of all, I feel sorry for the poor suckers
that bought them
who
individually.
Paid $100 or
sure.
so a season.
Sure,
but this is the way of the future. Is this collected series thing is kind of what's happening?
It's almost worth waiting for if you can.
Yeah,
I
waited. I didn't get it. I was upset. Remember we were talking not too long ago, maybe, I don't know, 20-odd episodes ago, 30 episodes ago, we were talking about the fact that Next Generation at this point is all but unbuyable on DVD.
Yeah, you can't find it.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
So,
I guess it's a wait-and-see attitude with
this. I think so.
Well, I guess we'll talk about it next week, because that'll be...
It'll be...
next week,
yeah.
Won't it?
Yeah, it'll be next week.
I guess we'll
so.
Find out next week how that rolled out.
There it is. I think we're going to take a quick break.
I think you're wrong, because I got to talk about some comic books.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were done.
A comic book, a Marvel comic book, no less, that I've been promoting. Annihilation Conquest Star-Lord.
Okay.
It's some great space adventuring. It's got really, really great characters that are not used enough.
Is this the first time you're promoting this on the show?
This is the second time I'm promoting this.
I
started with issue 2. This is now issue 3 has arrived.
Okay.
And I also want to point out an Image title called The Astounding Wolfman by Robert Kirkman and Jason Howard.
Okay.
This is a fantastic, fantastic book with really exciting, very stylized art style, and I want everyone to check it out. It's only, again, also only at issue 3, so you should be able to pick up back issues. I'm sure they're going to trade both of these books. At least I'm hoping they are.
I'm sure.
Especially the Star-Lord book is really good.
All right.
It's the kind of book I would actually read if it kept going, but I'm sure it's only a miniseries of 4 or 5 issues.
That's a shame.
And, yeah. Also, Wizard came out this week. You should pick it up because there's a lot of stuff about the Dark Knight in it.
Right.
Including, I'd like to tell you, I'd like to show you. That's how, even though this is a show consisting only of sounds and virtually no images, this one you're going to see if you're looking on your iPod right now. It's a big double page spread of the first issue, first image of Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Holding that knife up to Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
That image kind of appeared very blurrily on the internet a few months back, but this is the first time I've seen it really crisp and clear.
Right, and it looks great, and he looks great, and I'm starting to get really psyched up. I'm a little scared still.
I don't know.
Teaser trailer?
That movie's going to be close to plagued soon.
Teaser trailer? Only sound?
They've had two tragedies on set. The third one makes bad, bad news.
You heard him laugh on the trailer.
You did.
And it was really good.
A stunt driver just died on set.
Really?
Yeah, driving the Batmobile.
Damn shame.
It is.
Damn shame.
We taking a break now?
I guess. I mean, you know, do you think you've covered enough of everything?
I think so. I think we've covered everything. Fantastic. Do you have anything?
What did we cover? Just go through and list it so I could write it down for the episode description. Go ahead.
No, we'll save that for the last 3 minutes.
That's called
of the show.
Wrap
it's called
up.
The wrap up, sir.
You can write it down then.
We're not done yet.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, N-E-R-D-Z.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at nerdzrule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds rule!
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Texting someone there? Right?
Yeah.
Send a little text during the show?
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm ready. I'm waiting for you, sir.
We've already started.
You've got the colonel over there. Let's talk about it.
We've started.
Okay.
We're waiting on you.
I'm ready.
Me and Fantastic sitting here watching you text.
Go for the colonel, sir. I don't mean...
Don't be rushing me.
No chicken.
I done told you about it rushing me.
Slow down, Kevin.
Yo, it's
Slow
hot
down.
Here. It's September, and it's 100 degrees in the studio.
It's too darn hot in September.
Exactly.
Zombie Colonel America. The zombie Spider-Man that came from Marvel Select.
Right.
Which is Diamond's wing of Marvel toy making. And we had questions about whether... It was Zombie Colonel America, which is actually Captain America.
And within a day of the episode being posted, episode 75 being posted, and us putting a call out to our listeners, we got an email from one of our faithful listeners, a good friend of the show, Jimbo, who said, yes, it is Colonel. It is not Captain. So there it is.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But whatever. In that storyline, he's a Colonel.
Okay, well, in this this storyline of the show today, he is an action figure from Marvel Select, Zombie Colonel America.
Yes.
He's articulated, of course. He's got the removable part of his head so you can see his brain. He's all zombified and dirty.
Right.
And he comes with a base, which, again, I'm going to go on record as saying it looks to me like they've torn apart the Silver Surfer.
Yes.
And if anyone out there in the listener land can tell us what the significance is of these three zombies. Now, we're talking about Colonel America, Zombie Colonel America, Zombie Spider-Man, and the yet-to-come, which I'm assuming is going to be...
Soon.
If it holds pattern, next week, yeah, we'll be talking about Zombie Hulk. Did these guys tear apart the Silver Surfer? Because that's what it looks like here.
It could be. I know that the whole zombie thing was brought on by some sort of plague or disease or something. So
or
perhaps
bad choices by Marvel's editor-in-chief.
You could say bad choices, but those things sold like mad. But maybe this plague or disease weakened and destroyed the Surfer, and they just happened to be there to pick up the pieces.
Exactly. It sold like mad because, you know, good writing and continuity, and that doesn't make good serialized storytelling. What makes it good? Zombie and new characters. Hey, that's what makes it good.
If it works, it
Listen,
works, I guess.
A little message to Slim Quesada. Slim, enough. Can you concentrate on some core books and get them back in line, please? Enough with the zombies and the all these little fantasy books that are coming. I'm so tired of it, man.
A lot of people like them.
See Joe? See the pictures of Joe and Wizard?
I know. He was
Joe looking slender.
Slim. Nice.
Slender.
Zombies are big in Halo 3, but we can talk about that later, too.
I know. You keep teasing this Halo 3 thing. I don't know what that's all about. All
right. So we got Zombie Colonel America. He got the removable head so you can see his brain.
Yeah, he's all
gitchy.
Yeah, he's chewed up and nasty. He's from Marvel Select, as we've said. You can go over to DiamondSelectToys.com to get a better look at him. And maybe you can go to your local retailer and pick one up.
Yep. What else you got over there, sir?
Well, we had talked last week about the fact that Superman Doomsday had been released.
On the DVD.
Yes. And so we decided that we were going to sit down and watch it together.
Sure. And we did. And
thank goodness you were there, because I was scared.
I wouldn't have believed you if you had told me some of the stuff that I saw.
I can't even... We should probably play this right now.
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
There it is, the spoiler alert, because...
Yeah, we're going to get into it.
We got to just talk. We got to talk about how violent this movie is. I mean, it is uber violent.
It is uber violent, and they show it, which is amazing. I mean...
It's rated PG-13, we should say that. There's no way some of this is PG-13. I don't know how this stuff... Remember all the crap they gave the Joker?
Yeah.
The Joker Return. What was that movie?
The Joker Batman Beyond Returns? Return of the Joker.
The Return of the Joker? They gave that movie such crap for being violent that they had to actually go back and reanimate some of the scenes to be less violent.
Right.
And I guess, I don't know what happened on this movie, because their cup runneth over of violence.
Well, it's
fantastic. You would drop dead at the violence in this movie. All right. Now, we understand Superman fighting...
Doomsday.
Right. Is enough of a violent fight alone,
right,
to have you sit up and take notice about the fact that, wow, that's really some incredible violence, right?
He breaks out, he runs up to a little innocent deer, and he just grabs it by its antlers and just breaks its
you
neck.
Just see, all you hear is as it twists his head off.
Kids can relate to that.
Sure.
Yeah, well... I mean, and then, of course, like we said, the fight between... I mean, we should have kept the body count.
Oh, we should have.
Of Doomsday, because he's just killing dudes left and right. Right on screen. And it's not like G.I. Joe, where he blows up a plane and there's a parachute off in the distance. I mean, he grabbed a truck driver guy and just threw him.
Yeah, and
killed you saw him. And just blah, 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 blah. And he's dead. And some other dude, the scientist dudes, and he's just tearing them up.
Yeah,
and they're dead. And, like, in the silhouette, and it's just like... ripping dudes up. Now, that being said, when he fights Superman, that's really violent too. But I gotta say what the most violent, shocking thing in the movie was.
Let's skip the fight, because really, it was
so
good, but...
So shocking, I had to actually rewind the disc.
Or to watch it again.
Using my arcane technology, I had to step back the disc, not rewind.
Is it Lois Lane and Superman?
Well, there is all indications of that, my friend, by the way.
There is.
There was all of the indications that they are doing it. right?
No, we're sticking with the violence, sir.
Yeah, we're going to stick with the violence. We'll leave the sex aside for a minute. So basically the story goes, LexCorp is digging in the ground. They find this thing. It turns out it's some sort of
pod
that
has Doomsday,
in it, right? And apparently he doesn't want it connected to him. So he tells his little assistant, what the heck's her name?
Blonde chick with glasses.
I always forget her name. She's got a cool name, too, and I always forget it. All right, he tells her, clean that up and blah, blah. So then later in the movie, he's sitting just alone in his office, and he's all upset Superman's dead or whatever. And, I hope we didn't give anything away there. Oh, we played a spoiler alert. Yeah, so Superman dies, but does he really? No, of course not. Nobody ever dies in comics, ever.
Anyway.
So he says to his little assistant, whatever her name is, she has a cool name. It's not Pepper Potts, but it's that kind of cool name. Yeah. It kind of rolls. He turns to her and says, did you take care of that? Did you clean it up? She's like, yep, we were never there. No one will ever know. And all of a sudden, the barrel comes in the frame, and then you're outside of the LexCorp building, and you see, bam, a loud pop, and him holding a gun at her and her lifting off of the ground because he shoots her. Now no one will ever know about it, whatever his line is after. So shocking, and you're just like, it hits you out of
and
left
then
field.
It pans back into the building, and he's standing there, and like the little wisp of smoke is coming out of the barrel
of the gun. And he just drops
the
gun and goes about his business and says whatever the line is. Now no one knows
or
whatever it is.
No one ever
Holy
will.
Cow. And yes, fantastic, to answer your question, the sexual innuendo as Superman comes out in some sort of, isn't he in some sort of robe or something?
Yeah, at some point.
And then Lois comes out dressed in a sheet.
Yeah.
Indicating that they had just
hit it.
Bumped nasties. I mean, yeah, they're totally doing it.
Okay, so there's the
violence.
You have
something? What do you have? Fantastic has something. He's got a grin.
No, I don't. I'm just hanging out, guys.
Oh, okay. So there was the violence. There was the sex. Let's get to the silly comedy.
Okay,
go ahead. The toy maker.
Okay, the toy maker, who he's kind of a new design toy maker.
Right.
He's kind of maniacal, emo toy maker,
right,
which is cool because toy maker in the 70s was kind of just their dude on the Super Friends or the whatever was the Legion of Superheroes versus the Legion of Doom.
I just saw the episode or a episode of Super Friends with the toy maker, and I was thinking to myself, God, this would never, ever fly today.
Right, exactly. So he's kind of emo.
They've revamped him.
Right, he's kind of emo, and he's kind of creepy, and whatever. But he is attacking Metropolis in a giant mechanical spider.
Okay.
Right? Now, what makes this funny is Superman shows up,
right,
defeats him in the mechanical spider rather toot-sweetly without much fanfare. All of a sudden, they cut to person on the street who happens to be a heavier set gentleman with brown hair and a beard and a goatee and whatever beard. And the gentleman says in a very familiar voice, like we needed him to defeat a mechanical spider. Lame. And only then do you realize that it's voiced by one Kevin Smith.
His mechanical spider story from An Evening with Kevin Smith.
Right, An Evening with Kevin Smith. He talks about having at one point worked on the Superman script in which the producer, the crazy guy whose name I forget at the moment,
wanted
a mechanical spider. He said no, and the mechanical spider turns up in the third act of Wild Wild West.
Right.
So this was obviously an homage to that by both the filmmakers and Kevin. So
very funny.
Bravo. It really was kind of it was a bright spot in a dark, dark movie.
But it was really good. And if you haven't seen it, this is one you need to go and check out.
And Superman versus Superman. Should I say that at the end of the film?
Sure.
Which was very good as well.
It was. It was very well. It was handled very nicely.
I thought the whole thing was well executed. My only problem was the animation was subpar.
You know what? Most of the animation was okay. Superman, though, Clark Kent had these goofy cheekbone lines that really aggravated the hell out of me for the entire thing. But otherwise, I thought it was really good. I did enjoy it. And if you haven't seen this yet, you really should go and check it out.
I'm going to say again, I did find the animation rather subpar for Warner Brothers, considering the great animation that they've done with these characters in the past. Really, for the past decade and a half.
Sure.
The past 17 years, almost, at this point. I really found it sort of jagged. And like you said, those lines, what bothered you about them was the fact that they had no they had no dimension at all. It looked like he had a, it looked like he was Seal and had like some fucking tattooing on his cheeks or whatever the hell, scarring or whatever the hell Seal has. It was, yeah, it was jarring, and it kind of, it brought me out of it a little bit.
All right, so you have the DVD, you love the DVD. So now you want to have something more than just the DVD, perhaps a companion to the DVD.
You want the action figures.
And there they are.
And there they are. Now, here's what's interesting about the action figures.
Okay.
There's four of them.
Right.
Well, really, there's five. There's four packages. You
Is
get
there a
super...
Builda?
No, there isn't a Builda, but that's cool. That would have been a great idea, except for the fact that really the guy you would... Oh, unless it was... If it had been the mechanical spider, that would have been cool.
Or it could have been the robot, too.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the robot, because Superman's robot comes in the package with Lex Luthor.
Oh, okay.
So that's actually a two-pack, which I have right here.
Oh, right.
And in addition, also in the line, besides Lex Luthor and Superman's robot, you get Solar Suit Superman.
Right, which with the black and silver suit.
Right. He dons a super suit to a black solar suit, sorry, to help him absorb energy to help make him better.
Right, to heal after the fight.
And he's got long hair.
Right.
We should also say also, which I always think that's so funny. Doomsday, of course, is a huge, huge figure.
Right.
In comparison to these other figures.
And he comes with his space sneakers, so that's great.
They're not really sneakers, man. They're bike booties.
Oh, great. Space booties.
Space booties. And also, of course, you wouldn't be complete without Superman himself.
Right.
Now, is this the Superman or is this the other Superman?
I don't know.
Depending on how you set them up and what you think, that's what you're getting. So,
sure.
That being said, here's the two funny things about these figures.
Okay.
One, they're made by DC Direct.
Okay.
Why is that funny?
Because
DC Direct does not do four and a half, five-inch scale figures.
Right.
What's great about them, and what's great about DC Direct here, is that they have done these figures so you can integrate them right in with your other animated figures.
Right.
They've done them in that scale. They've done them in the style of the feature, which we said was kind of...
Odd.
Troublesome, yeah. They are very stylized to that animation. They have thin limbs, thick centers, and for the most part, it's a very good reflection of the animation in the series.
Okay, good.
That was really actually both of the cool things, is that it was DC Direct and that it was something you could combine.
You should pick these up. They are nice. And
DC
we do
Direct,
enjoy
of course, we know always does a fine
job. Of course.
And this is no exception. Five figures, four packages, Superman Doomsday. You can check those out at your local retailer. They'll integrate nicely with your animated series. I think it's great.
Excellent. Yeah, sure.
And coming off of that great movie, I hope what springs out of this maybe is some more animated style stuff, like their next project,
New Frontier.
We know, is New Frontier.
Looks amazing.
Well, let me tell you briefly, very quickly, about a couple of things I saw in previews today, which was very exciting, in the DC Direct figure area, you will. Three things really quick. I promise I'll blow through them quick. I know that you want us to speed up. Fantastic. And I want to tell people about these products.
Think Benny Hill.
Okay, here we go. Ready? Time me. Okay. Justice League The New Frontier Series 2 action figures, 6-inch scale, featuring Batman amongst the characters, coming out very soon. The first wave was fantastic. The second wave looks even better in the stylized art of...
Darwin Cook,
thank you very much. Second, Smallville action figures, Series 2, which we thought were never going to happen.
Yep.
Well, they're going to happen, and guess who they're doing? A new Clark, Green Arrow, Impulse, Aquaman.
Wow.
And whoever...
Cyborg.
Cyborg? Is it Cyborg?
Yep.
Cyborg. That's what they're doing. This
two for two, baby.
You are really doing your homework, sir. Five figures in the series. They look fantastic. I'm going to get them. I don't even like Smallville.
Excellent.
And finally, there is a brand new Batman Joker statue coming out. It's Batman on a staircase, and he's holding the Joker up in Arkham. Looks like it's in Arkham. Joker is in kind of the hospital attire, scrubs,
right,
with slippers on and the straitjacket, and Batman is holding him up by the straitjacket. The statue is fantastic. If I'm able to get a picture of it, you're probably looking at it right now on your iPod, because I figured this one is so cool, I had to add a picture.
Sure.
I had to do it. Go I know we're it. Trying to balance out our pictures. I had to add it.
Kudos to that picture.
That being said, those are some quality products coming from DC Direct, and I just had to mention them. After the great Superman Doomsday figures and film, I had to mention them.
Excellent. You can stop the Benny Hill music.
I use the Benny Hill music.
I know. That's why I said stop it. He said start it before, so I said stop it. What were you going to say, Fantastic? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, after the show, we're going to be chased around by scantily clad 70s
British girls and one little bald old dude.
Actually, it's going to be Oscar De La Hoya running around in ladies' panties. Anyway, let's take a break. We're going to come back with some Halo 3 chit-chat.
It's a lot to talk about there.
There is,
but we're going to do it in rapid style because Helmets is a quickie.
It is a quickie.
Because we're running.
All right, folks. We'll see you in a few. Everyone
around you was... Attention Geek Stuff listeners. Do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKevsGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space.
What's up? This is Dane Cook from Good Luck Chuck, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You know it. I'll never be you, never be wow. You.
We are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 76, Helmets, so named because one of the things we talked about in studio tonight would be the Master Chief helmet that came with the deluxe version of Halo 3. Let's talk about Halo 3.
Let's talk about Halo 3.
It's almost like the game comes with the helmet.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah,
kind of. What did that thing run you?
That was it was a bit pricey. I think the retail on that's $130.
129,
$129,
yeah, I think so.
But it's nice. You get the collector's edition case, which really is a nice item all on its own. I mean, the helmet is perfectly recreated. It's even got the kind of reflective visor surface there. You can store Halos 1, 2, and 3 or three other games. I don't know why you'd pick three other games, but you can store Halos 1, 2, and 3 in it. It's nice. The base is nice. I mean, it's a nice product. Sure. On top of that, you got the additional disc, Fantastic. Do you know about this? You get the additional disc that has game content on it that's not available anywhere except the Legendary Edition.
Now listen, check this out. Inside the Halo 3 Legendary Edition, there's the fully sculpted Spartan helmet, obviously.
Case, what we've
came
talked
in a
about.
Giant box.
Right.
Halo 3 for the Xbox 360. You'd kind of get gypped if that wasn't in there.
Okay.
A storyboard collection, and then the Legendary Disc. On the Legendary Disc is the Halo Cinematics Reloaded, the Bestiality?
What?
A Guide of Animals, the Cortana Chronicles, plus all new exclusive Machinima episodes from Red vs. Blue, The Spartan Life, and a documentary. And then there's the interactive, and this may be what you were thinking of, interactive Xbox 360 disc. And on there is High Def Halo, which is an audio video calibration tool for your TV.
Okay.
So when you're playing the game, you can actually see things the way they're meant to be seen. you know, your blacks are black and you got good colors. Art Attack, which is a gamer picks and Halo dashboard for your like a skin for your dashboard. And lastly,
is that good? Do I want that?
Nah, it's all right. I don't like it. I like the default one. Okay. And lastly, it lists featurettes, a series of short films covering a range of subjects from making your network play nice with multiplayer to the challenges of building the biggest Halo ever. So it's just more video content.
So there it is.
I was misled.
Either way, a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
Well, it's a lot of stuff.
And you're paying for it, but it looks good.
What you really paid for was that helmet.
I think
it is
right.
A nice helmet.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we talk a little bit about one of the other packaging blunders? Because maybe what you had was a little bit of a blunder.
Mr. Fabulous has experienced this blunder.
Oh, has he really?
Yes.
Oh, I bet he was furious. This is the
scratched disc blunder as a result of the tin. Is that
correct?
So there was a version of the game. It was a special edition of the game that came in a collectible tin.
That would be the middle of the road.
It's the middle of the road one. Exactly right.
Special
edition. Is it that the spokes inside broke? Or the disc came loose? Or
I read it's that the disc came loose. I actually wasn't there for his unveiling or opening of the product. But
I would have loved to have been there for that.
If they were hanging around, he probably would have said something to me. And I know that if he was handed one online at Target and he shook the disc and he heard things banging around in there, he would immediately say, give me another one.
Right.
You know him. But I think it was just kind of like a while they were packaging it or something like that. I did hear that the discs were flopping around in there, though.
So, from what I understand, a lot of these discs got scratched, and in most cases, it didn't affect playability on the disc.
Which is, so far, has not for him.
Right. But, as a precautionary measure, whether or not it has affected playability or not, Microsoft has already set up a disc replacement program.
Well, they usually...
Less than a day after it came out.
When there's a problem with a Microsoft product, they usually hop on it quickly, admit fault, and take care of it by throwing money at the problem.
At the issue.
No, so, that's not true.
No, not at all. But I don't know how the disc, the free exchange program works, but I'm sure that you can find out on the Xbox website, I believe is where there's information. But so if you've experienced this, fret not and get yourself a brand new shiny disc.
Now, I waited online Monday night.
Right.
From about 11 to 12.
Okay.
And there were maybe 60 people in front of me.
Okay.
Which I have to be honest, knowingly that everybody on the line paid, I figured it's not going to take too long to actually get the game once you're on the line and everyone has a receipt. So it's more of you're just on the line for the experience of it all. So rather than get there hours before at 9 or 8:30, whenever GameStop closes, I got there like, 45 minutes before. And I have to say, everybody online was very friendly, including Pork Fry Rice and Kojak. That's their gamer tags. And and I went right up there, got the disc, and somebody said to me, yo, you waited on the line, you didn't even get the Legendary Edition? And I said to the kid, I already got enough crap in my house I'm about to throw out.
There you go.
That's really fun. Wait a minute.
That was a charming tale.
Oh, yeah, right, Kev.
I got the Legendary Edition.
Nice helmets. But so far, how much of the game have you played?
Hey, well, before we get into that, I want to talk about this disc problem issue. Let me tell you something that happened to me.
Tell me.
Put in my Dead Rising disc.
Yeah, babe.
And then all of a sudden I'm playing and it stopped playing. It says,
why?
Disc is unreadable. I take the disc out. There's a perfect circle scratch on my disc. Now, I don't know if this happened in my Halo Edition Xbox 360 or if it happened in my old Xbox 360.
There's a chance that happens in any Xbox.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you ever bumped the console while the disc was in there, right? Because that's what causes it, right? If the console is unstable or if it gets bumped or is moved.
This happens. The Xbox is kind of notorious for this in that if you ever move it from horizontal to vertical while it's playing or go anywhere in between, any angle in between,
right,
it does cause this problem. However, I've had this problem with other usually cheaper DVD players. I have the ECW Anarchy Extreme, whatever the WWE first release one was, that kind of chronicles the story of ECW.
Okay.
And it just like freaked out in the middle of it. I took the disc out, I looked at it, and there was a giant ring in it. And I'm thinking, is this ring supposed to be here? So me, stupid at the time, I put another disc in there, a different disc. And I go to like, some random chapter.
Yeah.
The same thing happens. I was like, fuck this. I just took the DVD player and threw it right out the window.
Yeah, well, there it is.
I took the disc out first.
So I lost Dead Rising due to... I'm hoping my old Xbox, because I don't I hope it wasn't my new one.
No, I don't think it has anything to do with your which console it was. It probably just you bumped it or something happened during gameplay once.
Well, we should say, of course, that I did trade in my original first generation Xbox 360 for the new advanced Halo Edition Xbox 360.
Sure. Now, I don't remember, but from previous conversation, is this not the Xbox 360 Elite? Is this just a regular 360? Or is it the Elite version or whatever the
hell
it was
called?
No,
it's just a 360.
Right. It's the equivalent of the Pro, but it happens to be green. And it has a drive door that's kind of like the brassy color of the
visor,
Master Chief's,
right?
Yeah, like the visor. Orangey, rusty
Yeah,
color.
Not the visor, more the face mask, whatever the hell you call that.
Right.
The lens.
Yes, the lens. There you go. Good. Well said.
All right. So we've talked about that. We've talked about the console. Let's talk about some other things.
We want to talk about the game. Fantastic guest. How much of the game that we've played.
Oh, okay. I was going to say one other thing, but we can talk about the game itself. Let's go for it. I liked it so far.
Seemed like Halo to me.
I don't know. I liked it so far. I mean, it did seem like Halo to me, but I've enjoyed the other two Halo games, so it's nice to play something new with some fresh content. We didn't get very far. We only played for about an hour or so, but it wasn't bad. I mean, I had a good time.
You played on co-op?
Yes.
Yeah, we played on co-op.
What level did you play on?
Easy.
What difficulty level?
Oh, easy.
Easy.
Easy?
Yeah.
All right.
We were just trying to get a story and a feel for the gameplay.
I understand. But this one, knowing that Halo 3 is everywhere, you can buy the goddamn thing at 7-Eleven.
Right.
If you pre-ordered it, that is. Bungie kind of consciously made the normal a little bit easier, more like the easy, and the easy kind of like kindergarten.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains why I was doing so well.
But there's supposed to be more of a gap between normal and heroic in that heroic is like a little bit harder. So if you've never played the game, you should play it on... If you've played the game already, you should play it on heroic, rather. And legendary, of course, is still just as hard. And if you're playing four-player co-op, you should be playing on legendary anyway if you can move your damn fingers.
Well, there it is.
Well, there you have it. I found it just as aggravating in the ways that I found Halo 1 and 2, the one-person storyline part of the game, aggravating in the sense that... And you felt this, too. You were the arbiter.
He was the arbiter.
Because it didn't seem like there was any way for us to change that, so he was the arbiter.
No, I think the first player is always the arbiter. If you're playing on co-op, the first player is always the Master Chief. If you're playing on co-op,
And the second player is always the arbiter?
Right, and then there's two other elites, which are the aliens, like the arbiter, that the third and fourth player will be.
Oh, really?
Playing four-player online
co-op.
So you
can't play a Spartan unless you're the first one.
Right, you have to be the host, the person who's hosting the game on your Xbox 360 too, if you want to be the Spartan.
Huh.
The Master Chief, not just any Spartan.
Huh.
But I think your synopsis of the game in that it's more Halo is a good one. It's kind of one that some people can misconstrue as like you don't like it, but...
Oh, I liked it.
I think it's just... It's certainly not blowing my socks off the
right.
way that
and it really
it's
doesn't.
Being sold.
When Halo 2 came out and I was playing it, I got the feeling that the engine, the graphical engine, the game engine was a little bit too advanced for the Xbox One that it was on.
Okay.
And it felt like, you know, the graphics are really awesome, the models are nice and everything. It takes advantage of the power. It's really a pinnacle of the Xbox. But there were some weird things about it. Like, there was a little bit of loading and glitches. There was some pop-in. Things you wouldn't normally expect from Bungie. So it felt like it was possibly rushed, and maybe at some point they would reuse that engine exactly how it is for Halo 3, with maybe turning on some switches to make the graphics better.
Right.
And I'm not saying that this is exactly what they've done, but it may be close. Because the game didn't really look great when it came out in beta or before. It looked like an upgraded version of Halo 2. And it plays like an advanced, tweaked version of Halo 2. Which in my mind is a really good thing, but it's not Gears of War.
Did they swap around some buttons?
Yeah, they swapped around
controls?
Some buttons. The X button has been reassigned to equipment.
Yeah.
So you can pick up, like, landmines. You can pick up the shield, the flare thing. The bubble shield that we saw in that CGI animation a couple years
really
ago.
It's really not as effective as one might think.
I loved it.
Of course, you love it. Anything that gets you to hide and
fantastic. I was killing them little pricks inside that thing.
If they had a little thing that was bury your head in the sand,
and
that would be perfect for you.
It was great because at one point I actually got the warthog inside the dome.
Yeah.
So I was on the warthog inside the dome shooting. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's what's always been good about the Halo and Halo 2 engine is that there's like so many little sandbox environment type things that happen that you can say to yourself, damn, that was awesome. Remember when I did this? Remember when we played those really long land games with, you know, 16 and 20 people just in the same room going crazy? There were a lot of times when you forget that, you know, you had to get the flag, but you'd ride around on the Warthog bashing into people and saying, well, you know, those were really great memories, which leads us into our next feature of Halo 3, which is the save films and screenshots.
We didn't tinker with that at all.
We didn't, yeah.
Yeah, well, if you don't know it's there, you don't.
We don't know it's there. I didn't see it.
Well, we didn't get that far, sir.
In multiplayer, and single player, you can, at the end of the level or the end of the particular game, hit a button and save your game to a file. In multiplayer, you can go back in with some friends, fast forward, rewind, slow mo, move the camera around, and
from whose perspective?
From whatever perspective you want. You can do it from any of the playable characters,
right?
Or you can kind of get like a bird's eye view camera, a free floating camera that's moving around. And while you're doing that, you can freeze frame it and you can take a snapshot, and it actually saves it to your Bungie.net online account. That if you go to Bungie.net, you can create an account that corresponds to your gamer tag. It's kind of like your profile, and you can share it with your friends. And there's been a lot of funny, very exciting little moments captured via this.
Nice. We'll have to mess around
on Halo 3. It's been out 12 hours.
It's been out 12 hours, but well, that's another thing is there's a lot of metrics on the website that you can see how many people are playing, how many grunts have been killed, how many people in the UNSC have died, and things like that. And one of the things that you saw right before the game came out was there were about maybe 2 days before there were like 1,000 players, and then hours before there were like 6,000. By the time I got the game home and I sat down, there were 9,000 online. And about 3 hours later, at say 3 o'clock when I went to bed, there were 75,000 people. And I've heard that there's been up to almost 300,000. I could be wrong on that, which is a lot.
So that's pretty huge.
Well, I think the next step for us, you and me, OG, is to play the multiplayer.
Sure.
That's a part I'm really looking forward to anyway.
Definitely the way to go.
Can I just bring up one more thing before we wrap this all up? Because it would be remiss of me not to mention this on our show here.
I don't you to be remiss.
You also think that you're going to blast right through and ignore Fantastic's contribution to tonight's discussion.
Well, then let's talk about those first.
Okay, let's talk about that. Fantastic, do you want to talk about him?
Sure. An avid Star Trek fan of mine, aptly named the Commander, bestowed me with this gift that he procured at 7-Eleven.
Okay.
And what do you call those?
They cups. Are 22-ounce
yeah, thanks.
Lenticular
cups.
Halo 3 commemorative cups.
So it's a 22-ounce plastic cup.
Correct.
With Halo art on the side.
Correct.
It also features the...
It's all movie-looking in 3D-ish.
Right. To me, it's kind of like the Sports Flicks baseball cards that I used to collect that were four times thicker than every other card out there. It looks like it has a Mountain Dew logo on there. There's a Mountain Dew Game Fuel logo.
Mountain Dew, Game Fuel, Xbox 360, Xbox Live, and 7-Eleven.
That's the exclusive Mountain Dew Halo 3 flavor that they have floating out there.
Right, which hasn't been too easy to find, but at least for me. But I'd like to try it anyway.
But you're looking, which I think is
looking.
Fantastic.
But I think the art on the cups is pretty nice.
Sure.
One of them stands out among all others, but...
It
it's
is
kind of
a nice
quality
little commemorative
collectible
piece. Especially for a Slurpee.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
It's essentially what it's for.
Right, it seems like there's three different ones that you can collect. I don't see any indication that there are more or less than these three. Sometimes they say on them one of, you know, whatever the number of them is, but I don't see any indication, so maybe there is just three.
So for the Slurpee cups, thanks to friend of the show, the Commander.
The Commander.
What do you have, Matt?
All right, so some of the voice actors... For Halo 3. I have to bring this up. You knew I had to bring this up.
Okay.
There are three in particular that I would like to mention.
Okay.
Those three would be Alan Tudyk,
mm-hmm.
Nathan Fillion,
mm-hmm.
and Adam Baldwin.
Now, they've worked on other projects together.
They have Serenity, as a matter of fact.
Right. Serenity, of course. As we know, Serenity, of course, the film based on the Josh Whedon TV show.
Joss Whedon
TV show.
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Who's a black? Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea.
Wow. It's been a long time since we heard that one. Well, I felt like I could break it out because, you know, Alan Tudyk, Nathan Fillion do just some random voiceovers. We certainly were able to hear them just in the short amount of time that we played.
We were pretty sure we heard Nathan Fillion. We might have heard Tudyk.
We might have heard Tudyk.
But we did not. We didn't hear Adam Baldwin.
Because apparently the voice work that Adam Baldwin does, he actually plays some sort of commander or somebody who they reference as Jane. And he also references the fact that he has Vera with him, which, for those of you who are a fan of the series, know it is his gun in the series.
Wait, that was his gun in what series?
The TV show.
So there's one other thing that I didn't know that they voiced, that they played the parts of voice in the game until I checked the manual, and I was prompted to check by the manual because one of the characters, the one played by Nathan Fillion, actually uses some Serenity vernacular in the game.
Oh, I didn't hear
which then
that.
Prompted me to say, did I just hear that? No, because they do these things kind of randomly or programmatically, right. So they don't always say the same thing. But he said a specific thing, and I'll let you play the game and try and find it, where I said, that's from Serenity. And then I checked.
Did he
and
say
sure
Goram?
Enough,
is that it?
He says Goram.
I knew it. That's I knew that's what
brilliant.
It would be.
Brilliant. Well, apparently some of the developers on the game, big Joss Whedon fans, big fans. So... And there it is, Halo 3. So check it out, and there it is. There's our discussion.
Wow, you've brought it to a screeching halt.
I'm good at that. That's my job. Screeching halt.
And we'll be right back with the wrap up. Oh God, another spot. I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby.
All right, here we go. Super Hollywood style.
You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games. They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. Is that the URL?
Why don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL? The phone number?
The phone number?
Yeah.
973? What's the phone number?
Pull the fucking page up!
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial?
Well, what if they want to fax
You're
their order?
You're insulting them! They're a sponsor of the show! You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated!
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay, go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures, manga.
Yo, you gotta respond at least.
What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this.
Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I going to make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788 or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she's like a samba that's...
Hey, this is Christine Hodge, Simone from Head of the Class, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 76. Is that what this is?
76.
Helmets.
Helmets.
Aptly named because we had such exciting stories that had helmets involved in them.
Right. And let's talk about, real quick, some of the news we went over. There's going to be a silly, spoofy superhero movie. I don't know how I feel about it, but it's coming out. So there it is. It's called The Superhero.
From the people that brought you
Airplane, Naked Gun, and Scary Movies 3 and 4.
So it has potential.
Sure.
Deluxe hardcover edition of The Killing Joke by Alan Moore and Brian Boland is coming in the spring.
There was a fancy, fancy interview with George Lucas on TV Guide. You could check that out, the link for it out in one of our blogs from last week. Pretty much he discusses Indy 4, some Star Wars stuff. It's good, good stuff.
Mike Mignola's Hellboy will be collected into library edition hardcovers. Also in 2008, each volume will collect two of the trades that they've already put out, and they'll be putting those out in chronological order so you can read the stories in chronological order, and Mike Mignola should get canceled.
Maybe Jessica Biel will be playing Wonder Woman in the Justice League movie. I'd like to see her in spandex. Let's see what happens.
Again, it's spandex.
Yeah, exactly.
X-Men Disassembled. They are teasing yet another great X-Men crossover from Marvel where nothing will ever be the same, and maybe there won't even be an X-Men when this one's over. Dun, dun, dun. This will spin out of Messiah Complex, which is the X-Books great crossover that's starting up now. And out of that, we'll spin at least two new series, Cable, which who gives a crap, and X-Force, which who gives a crap again.
Dominic West will be portraying the role of Jigsaw in the upcoming Punisher sequel. We also talked about a couple of DVDs tonight that you should check out. Knocked Up, Bug, and
Voltron,
right,
Volume
the
4.
Red Lion, Volume 4. So check
yes.
those out.
You also want to check out Wizard Magazine, issue number 193. If for nothing else, you certainly want to check out all of the Dark Knight coverage, including the big two-page spread of the first picture of the Joker holding the knife to Maggie Gyllenhaal. It's a really nice picture. There's also a lot of Alex Ross art for his new series that's coming up, kind of his character designs. Great, great, great issue.
We talked a little bit about the Colonel America Diamond Select action figure tonight, as well as Superman Doomsday and the Superman Doomsday figures.
But before we talked about that,
right.
We talked about a couple of comics you should be checking out. Annihilation Conquest Star-Lord, it's a mini-series, four-issue mini-series from Marvel. It's really, really good. And that really hurts me to say, but it's good. Also from Image, check out The Astounding Wolfman by Robert Kirkman and Jason Howard. Another fantastic book, lots of action, lots of really interesting art.
We had a charming discussion about Halo 3, obviously the biggest game release in a long time, came out this week. You definitely should check it out. If you like Halos 1 and 2, it's worth playing.
Did we mention the Superman Doomsday action figures?
I mentioned them briefly. They're being put out by DC Direct. There's four figures in the four cards in the line with five figures. What are those figures, Kev?
They are Lex Luthor and Superman's robot in a two-pack, Solar Suit Superman, regular old Superman, and Doomsday. They're in the animated style of this feature. They'll fit right in with any animated collection size-wise. They're the 4.5-5-inch animated scale that's been very popular for about 15 years now.
And there you go. That's what we talked about tonight. Don't forget, you can check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or at the iTunes Music Store by doing a search for Geek Stuff. Don't forget, we have the Smallville Visual Guide contest going on right now that you can enter. Rules and details are online. And October 13th, XM, baby, live, 9 to 10:30.
October 13th. Right. You can check us out live then. I'm sure we'll have some sort of show.
I'm sure.
For people to listen to.
I hope.
And, we have another date, too.
We do, but
we're not announcing it.
We're not announcing that yet. No. We're saving it.
Fantastic. Do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Episode 76, Helmets. And it had better not be about the Rocketeer or cards or Kevin Smith or anything to do with what I will do to get Rocketeer products.
Do you think that Halo 3 legendary helmet will fit on my cat's head?
And on that note, we cue the music.
Let's go. Helmet on my head, chin strap on, huh? Dumb, cause nigga, I go big. Helmet on my head, chin strap on, huh? Dumb, cause nigga, I go big. 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 Go, what? Go, what?
Feels like the Matrix, Ghost Rider spaceship. Helmet on my head with the strap on my chin. Yellow Russian gigging on the hood of my Benz. Bust past lunch pill, me and my friends. Friendly ghost with this face is super stupid. Yak spilling, dumb pilling, cut from stupider. This is what I see, we don't need ID. We ride and lay laws and get ha 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 hyphy. Smack wild soul, never break them in two. I put the 06 scraper on 12 times 2. Ditch put me on, told us ref for the mind. Then we signed to the pill, going dummy as I die.
Let's go, okay. Helmet on my head, chin strap on, huh? Dumb, cause nigga, I go big. Helmet on my head, chin strap on, huh? Dumb, cause nigga, I go big. 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 Go, what? Go, what?
You know, I ride on a little bus, smacking off of three of those. Out the door, on the roof, going real remedial. Strap on my helmet, geek till we bump in hands. Friendly ghost and ears dancing, stunners on shaking dread. Just repping my town is what I'm doing. Fresh clothes to the bay with this hyphy movement. The nation in the building, THICC. Throwing up my T's for the Mac DRE. Dumb, dumb, lay law driver. Covered in ice, but the kid on fire. Yellow bus riding with Fab most likely. Super, stupid duper, go
let's
dumb,
go,
let's go hyphy.
Let's go, okay. Helmet on my head. Chin strap on, huh? Dumb, cause nigga, I go big. Helmet on my head, chin strap on, huh? Dumb, cause nigga, I go big. 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 Go, what? Go, what?